Our lives, in the main, are made up of the ordinary, everyday things, aren't they? Sometimes, occasionally, there are what you might call special days. I wonder, can you remember a day in your life, and you look back on it as being unique, once in a lifetime, an experience that had a profound and lasting impact on you? I wonder, if you look at the screen, that's actually me. No, it really isn't. No, it definitely isn't. If you know me at all, you'll know that I'm petrified of heights. Maybe it was something like that. You did something spectacular and you remember that day and it had an impact on you. Or maybe for you it was an extraordinary achievement. Maybe you ran a marathon or you did something out of the ordinary and that had an impact on you going forward. Maybe it was getting exam results. Maybe it was landing your dream job, stuff like that. Or maybe it was somewhere you travelled to the seven wonders of the world. Or maybe it was Silent Valley or somewhere like that. Just as spectacular. And you just had a jaw-dropping wow moment and you went away inspired by it. Or maybe you look back in a day on someone you met. You were someone well-known or famous, or maybe you heard someone speak, or maybe it was just an ordinary person who had an extraordinary impact on you when you met them and heard them talk. And there are all sorts of things we could think of. And of course, there are the hard things as well that have an impact on us. In Acts 2, Luke records the true story of a unique day in salvation history. This was a day that had a profound impact on Jesus' followers, a lasting impact on Jesus' followers and on the church. This was a day that changed everything. This was a truly momentous day. Now, that word's overused, isn't it, sometimes? Momentous. In our lives, there are big things that happen. We might say they're significant, momentous. But this is different. Nothing compares to this momentous day in history. Let's think about this for a moment or two in the first four verses of Acts 2, because I want you to remember where we're at here, the context. Jesus has just been taken up before the very eyes of the apostles. He's appeared to them for 40 days, and he told them to wait, to stay in the city. He promised that the Holy Spirit was going to come. They're going to receive power to be witnesses, to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. And now 10 days after his ascension, on this day of Pentecost, the promise comes true. And the setting is really, really significant. Look at verse 1 with me. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So Pentecost means 50th. It was one of the three main Jewish festivals. 50 days after Passover, the other was the Feast of Tabernacles. If you really want to read Leviticus 23, you can get the background of that. But Pentecost originally would have been celebrated at the end of the barley harvest. Seems quite appropriate given the time of the year we're at now. But over time, it became really important as God's people remembered their rescue from slavery in Egypt, as they remembered the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. So the major focus at Pentecost was God's people remembering what he had done for them, remembering their rescue, remembering that he's a God who keeps his promises. And that seems so appropriate, doesn't it, when we turn to Acts chapter 2. In verse 1, we're told they're all together in one place. The apostles were here. The 120 others that are mentioned in chapter 1, verse 15, here as well. Maybe it was the upper room. Quite possibly it was somewhere bigger around the temple area, because later on there are 3,000 people mentioned. But I want you to remember the promises that came before the events of this spectacular day. Way back in the Old Testament, Joel chapter 2, there was prophecy, promises about the Holy Spirit being poured out on all people. Fast forward to John the Baptist, Matthew 3, verse 11. He spoke of one who was coming, who would be more powerful than him, who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And think of Jesus' promises in Acts chapter 1, 48. The promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of power. So on this momentous day, we have the fulfillment of all these promises and more. And next week, Peter in his sermon will explain really what it all means. But for us today, let's look at the text and let's focus on the supernatural events. This was a God thing. This was God at work. Let's look at what actually happened on that day in verses 2 to 4. There are three things you'll see that happen. There's sound, there's sight, and there's speech. Firstly, verse 2, look at the sound. It says, suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. So this sound, it wasn't like a nice, calm, gentle breeze. This was like a gale. This was like a tornado. The force of it, the sound of it was violent, and it was absolutely everywhere. In the Old Testament, often wind is symbolic of the Holy Spirit's presence. Do you remember Ezekiel 37, the valley of dry bones, the wind, the Spirit, and life? Or in John 3:8, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, you know, the really, really religious guy, he associates wind and Spirit. So this first thing that happened was the sound. It was deafening. Everyone heard it. It was unmistakably supernatural. This was God at work. The second thing, verse 3, well, look at it again. It says, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So what they saw wasn't literal fire. Notice the text here, what seemed to be, resembled, looked like fire. Now, this is a really important image as well. It takes us right back to the Old Testament. Exodus 3, we saw a picture of it earlier, the burning bush, God's presence, God's holiness. Exodus 13 speaks of fire. The Lord went before his people in a pillar of fire at night, didn't they? Fire, God's presence. Or again, John the Baptist, that same verse, Matthew 3:11. He was going to baptize with the Holy Spirit, but not just with the Holy Spirit, and fire. So fire symbolizes God's presence, God's holiness, God's cleansing, God's judgment. Third thing on this momentous day was speech. And this is really significant given what follows. Look at verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enable them. Now, it's really important that we don't look at that and go off track. You know, we can be tempted to do that sometimes, can't we? There's a danger in that. When we see tongues, we go off in all sorts of different directions. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul writes about tongues, the spiritual gift. He writes about it in a different context, spiritual gifts, and for a different purpose, worship. And he stresses the importance of them being interpreted. And he stresses the vital importance of them building up the church. But that's for another day. Here in Acts 2, this is not some sort of ecstatic, superficial experience. This is not all the believers, you're rolling around the ground and making all sorts of weird noises and no one having a clue what's going on. This is not what happened. The word in verse 4 for tongues is glossa. And you can translate that as being languages. The word used in verse 6 for language is dialect. Now, why does all that matter? Well, it matters because here in history, the Holy Spirit enabled these believers to speak in many other different, definite, distinct, recognizable languages. They used appropriate words. They spoke clearly. People understood what they were saying. All those people who had gathered for the festival, all those different nationalities, and we'll get there in a moment, they heard their own language. So the Spirit came on Pentecost, and it was spectacular. The sounds and the sight and the speech, it was supernatural. This was God at work keeping his promises, equipping, empowering his church to be witnesses. A momentous day. As we try to think how this applies to us, John Stott has a really powerful quote. He often does. But listen to what John Stott says. This emphasizes the gravity of this day and its relevance for us. Stott writes this: "As a body without breath is a corpse, so the church without the Spirit is dead." Isn't that powerful? So our reality today is that as the church of Jesus Christ, we are supernaturally indwelt, equipped, empowered by the same Holy Spirit. Isn't that powerful? You and I, as we sit in this place today, we have God's presence always in us, always with us, always for us, always going ahead of us. We have God's power at work in and through our ordinary lives, in and through our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities and our failures. We have the Spirit, and therefore we're alive. It should be life. I wonder, as you think about the reality of this day in history, and it is a day in history, I keep emphasizing that, because this is not like Lord of the Rings or some film or some script made up. This is real. It's happened. It's true. And I wonder, as you think about it today, I wonder, have you, in your life, have you come to Jesus? You're the one who came to die on a cross for your sins, who rose on the third day, who was taken up to heaven, who promised the Spirit, who's coming again. Have you come to him? And do you know for yourself, in your life and in your heart, this presence of God, this power of God, is that your reality? Because if you're saved by grace, that is our reality. And it's a beautiful reality. If we have come to Jesus as his church, then is there evidence of this presence, of this life, of this power at work in and through us? Is there evidence? Do people see it? Do when people think about Le Comfort Presbyterian Church, do you think that place is alive? They love Jesus. They love the church. They love the world. They're on fire. This momentous day has profound and lasting impact on believers and on the church. And that's what we're getting to with our second and last point today, that this universal impact aspect of all of this, really verses 5 to 13. I wonder, like me, have you ever watched something on TV or being at a sporting event, or maybe it's just a TV game show, and you've been really struck by the reactions of people in the crowd? Have you ever noticed that? I'm obsessed with sport, and I often observe the crowd, and it's just unbelievable sometimes, the expressions and what people do when a goal's scored or a try is put down or whatever. Those funny, strange facial expressions when something happens. Or maybe you might think about, those talent shows, A Terrible Singing Edition. Have you seen the crowd respond to that? The comical dance routine. Crowd reactions are very, very interesting, aren't they, at times? Well, how do the crowds react and respond to what happened on this day of Pentecost? The Spirit's coming. How did they respond to the sound and the sight and the speech? But look at verse 5, because you'll see there that Jerusalem, it was packed with people. Apparently, the normal population of Jerusalem was 55,000 in those days. On this day, Pentecost, the festival, we're told in verse 5 that God-fearing Jews were there from every nation under heaven. Some estimate there were about 200,000 people on this day in Jerusalem, in the city. So this was a diverse crowd of people, international gathering, multilingual, people from all over the place, the whole known world. And in fact, if you look at verses 9 to 11, there are actually 15 different regions or different areas listed there, most of the known world at the time, where there were Jewish communities. So what are all these people here? They've come from all over the place. What do they hear? Well, verse 6, it says, when they heard this sound. So what sound did they hear? Was it the violent tornado-like wind? Well, not necessarily, because the emphasis here in the text is on all these people from all over the country, all over the place, hearing the tongues, hearing the languages. You look at verse 6, it's the sound of the believers filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in all these different languages. That's what they heard. And this was quite dramatic, because these apostles were rural Galileans, and apparently they had a really peculiar accent. They couldn't pronounce their gutturals very well. They were very distinctive. They were seen as being really uncultured, uneducated, these apostles. And can you imagine how dramatic it must have been? All of a sudden, these uneducated, uncultured, ordinary men are speaking perfectly, fluently, in all sorts of different languages. How did the crowd react? Well, verse 6, bewilderment. Verse 7, they're utterly amazed. Verse 12, they're amazed and perplexed. Can you imagine the facial expressions of the people here in Jerusalem? Can you imagine? You know, they heard this sound and they were puzzled. You know, their heads were spinning. They were sort of blown away by all of this. But what was the content of the speech? What was it they were actually hearing the apostles say in all these different languages? Well, look at the end of verse 11. This is really important. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. They were hearing about the wonders of God. They were hearing the mighty works of God. They were hearing likely about all that God had done for his people in the Old Testament, you rescuing them from slavery, bringing them into the promised land. They were hearing about his love and his grace and his mercy, even though his people continually rebelled and worshipped idols and ran away from him. God pursued them with his love. And ultimately, surely, these people were hearing about the biggest wonder of God. Now, what's the biggest wonder of God? What's the greatest mighty work? Well, surely, that is that the promised Messiah came. Surely, they were hearing the good news about Jesus, the Savior of the world. His death, his resurrection, his ascension, the promise that he's coming again. So on this momentous day, the Holy Spirit came. The promise came true. The Holy Spirit came to equip and to empower these ordinary, weak jars of clay. These apostles who were people just like you and I, people who messed up royally all the time. Yet the Holy Spirit came to live inside of them, to empower them to be witnesses, to tell the world about Jesus. Can you see how this day of Pentecost was the start of the mission of the church? It was going to have a global impact, a universal impact, and it begins in this city, on this day, with all the sights and the sounds, and especially all the different languages. I love how the Gospel Transformation Bible puts this. It's really helpful because it refers to all of this as the curse of Babel beginning to unravel. Do you remember the story of Babel in the Old Testament, Genesis 11? People were full of pride. They were rebelling against God. And because of that Tower of Babel incident, the nations, they were divided by language. They were scattered across the world. And yet here, as the believers speak, there are God-fearing Jews in that city from every nation under heaven, and they are hearing about the wonders of God, the mighty works of God, the good news of Jesus in their own language. It's amazing what God was doing. You know, this is the beginning of the mission of the church to the ends of the earth. And there's a mixed response. It's not our experience when the gospel goes out, when people hear about Jesus. There's a mixed response. I don't want to spend too much time in verse 13 as we get near a conclusion, but you'll see there that some people, likely locals who didn't understand any of the languages, they were thinking this is really weird and strange, and they accused of some of the apostles of having too much wine. They didn't get it. But the majority of people, verse 12, in their amazement, were asking a really important question. What does all this mean? What does it mean? Next week, Peter and his sermon will give us the answer to what it means. But what does it mean for you and I today? Because this isn't just a lesson in history about what happened all those years ago to those men and those people. Luke records here a unique day in salvation history. This was a day that had a profound impact on the church, a lasting impact on the church. This day changed everything forever. The Holy Spirit came, and the Holy Spirit brought life. The Holy Spirit brought power. The Holy Spirit equipped and mobilized the church for global mission. And it's really fitting that next Sunday is our Global Mission Sunday. We're going to have someone coming from Pakistan to tell us how this mission continues, how the gospel, the progress of the gospel is actually unstoppable. No one can stop it. God is on the move. He's building his church. And this is where it all started. You and I, we're the church today. We know that, don't we? That seems like a very obvious thing to say. But we are the church. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You and I, we're ordinary, aren't we? I'm very ordinary. And like me, you're probably flawed. And like me, you often feel very weak. And you wonder, how can we do this thing? How can we witness to the world? How can we do mission? How can we tell our work colleagues and family members all about Jesus? I feel like that very often too. But I keep coming back to the Word of God. I keep coming back to the reality of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Resurrection power we have. Let's be people who aren't trying to sort out the church by ourselves and our own wisdom and strength. Let's be people, let's be a church who are prayerfully dependent on Him, dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's be a people who are passionate about telling the world about the mighty works, the wonders of God, because He can do great things. He can do so much more than we could ever ask or imagine. Let's not put limits on what God can do here in this community. We have the Holy Spirit. The gospel is unstoppable. Let's depend upon Him. Shall we take a moment to pray? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the calling You've placed upon our lives. You've called us to go into all the world. You've called us to go with kingdom hope unfurled, to tell people the good news about Jesus. Father, we can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it with our own resources. But we are so grateful that today in Your word, we have been reminded that we have resurrection power living on the inside. God, help us to leave this building today. Help us to go out into the world during this week, reminded of that power and that strength and that grace that we have, and inspired to live our lives for You and Your kingdom. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I close today by singing a beautiful mix.